Hello, friends. This is Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting today from the studios of KKNW here in beautiful Bellevue, Washington, just outside Seattle in the United States on 1150 AM. I want to thank everyone so much for their beautiful love and support and for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in Seattle and in the world with over 250,000 listeners in over 90 countries. The purpose of this show is to raise consciousness and make this world a much better and happier place. And I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this earth a better place. On today's show, I'll be having my good friend Simon Parks on from England from now to 3 o'clock, followed by Timothy Japet at 3 p.m. with a famous natural doctor named Dr. Christopher Macklin from Canada, following Mr. Japet. Dr. Macklin is a great doctor with extensive knowledge of ETs, and he's a fantastic healer as well. I know you'll really enjoy his interview. Mr. Japet at 3 o'clock was George Floyd's attorney several years ago, and he says the real George Floyd actually died 3 years ago when he was his court-appointed attorney. So the entire event surrounding Mr. Floyd, or whoever he was in Minneapolis, was a fake event. It should be an interesting interview, and I hope you can all listen. If you missed my Galactic Conference in March, the entire conference is available on Crowdcast now for just $50. You can register for the conference at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. Also, beginning July 6th, 2020, in addition to my regular radio show here on wonderful KKNW on Fridays, I'll be starting a new online stream radio show with Robert F. Kennedy as my first guest on July 6th. The show will broadcast on Mondays from 12 noon to 2 p.m. on BBS Radio from the San Francisco Bay Area. The cost, it's a subscriber-based show. It'll be just $5 a month or $50 for the year to listen to the program. To subscribe, please go to bbsradio.com/ out of this world radio and just click on the PayPal button. And my new show on July 6th will also celebrate the U.S. Independence Day on July 4th and celebrate the ascension of this planet into the fifth dimension. I'll be broadcasting actually live from Mount Shasta, and my guides tell me that Shasta will be going into the fifth dimension by next month, so it should be a very interesting show. I want to thank everyone so much for sponsoring the show, especially Corey and Saul and Kirkland for their beautiful support. Also, I want to thank my friends Jessica and Randy in Mercer Island, Louise in Bellevue, Mary and Elias in Costa Rica, Bradley and Gemma in London, England, Dan and Ursula in Switzerland, Jan Erik and Emma Louise in Norway, and Tom Palladino, and everyone around the world who've helped me raise consciousness and make this world a much better place. We're also looking for additional sponsors and advertisers. Any advertising on the show will have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. I'm also giving free promotional advertising to all small businesses affected by the shutdown. I know things are starting to open up now, but if you'd like some free advertising on my show, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I want to thank everyone so much for their wonderful contributions for Food for the Hopi. We've collected almost $2,000 so far, and 100% of this money has all gone for food for Hopi villages on the first and second mesas of the reservation in Arizona. And I want to thank Martha Childress of the Natural Choice Network for delivering the food of the Hopi, Michiko Hayashi of the Imola Peace Project in Tokyo for raising money, as well as Leon McLaughlin of the Washington Clean Water Foundation, and Ernest Tahoe of the Hopi Indian Tribe for their efforts to raise money for food and clean water for the Hopi Indians. I know that we're really making a difference. We're also continuing to raise money to buy clean water filters for the Hopi so they can drink clean, fresh water. And if you'd like to donate to these efforts, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can send donations to me at Ted Marr, P.O. Box 5331, Lacey, Washington, 98509. 100% of all contributions go directly to the Hopi to either buy food or pay for new clean water filters. Also, I want to thank Janice Churchill of Healthy Biosolutions in Woodinville. She was on my radio show last week. She has started her own separate fundraiser to buy shungite to help the water clean their drinking water. Shungite's an amazing mineral from Russia that takes toxins out of drinking water. She so far has raised nearly $600. And if you'd like to donate to her effort to provide shungite to the Hopi Indians, please email her at info@healthybiosolutions.com, or you can call her at 425-358-0611. With that, I'd like to thank my dear friend Carol, who designs my website, as well as my friends in the Galactic Alliance who support my show, my angelic and earthly family, and of course, Eric at KKNW for all his wonderful help. I have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. If you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who passed on or contacted your guides and get some good spiritual advice, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. You can also call me in the United States at 509-750-9793. I've also extended my special, and the cost is just $50 now for a full one-hour reading. I'll be going back to Mount Shasta next month from July 1st to the 8th, and again from August 27th to September 3rd. We always see lots of Sasquatch and many UFOs flying around the mountain, and we also experience many miracle healings. My eyesight, as I've said many times on the show, was restored to perfectly clear 2010 eyesight in September of last year after Adama and the people of Telos gave me a miracle healing. Others have been healed of Lyme disease, Lou Gehrig's disease. And one lady back in September of 2017 was given a totally new pair of legs so she could walk again without crutches or a wheelchair. The cost is just $200. It pays for some camping costs. And if you'd like to go, please email me at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. My trip to Peru, which was originally scheduled in May, has been postponed to October 10th to the 28th. And we'll be going to the Nazca Lines, Paracas, and of course, Machu Picchu. When I was in Peru in January, we visited a stargate called Amaramuro at the south end of Lake Titicaca near the Bolivian border. And while we were there, we heard a whole chorus of children from Agartha and the Hollow Earth singing to us. Also, when we put our hands on this stargate in this rock cliff, the rock itself started turning into jello. We could see into Agartha, the Hollow Earth. We'll be going back there again, and I think you'll find the trip just totally amazing. The cost is just $497 with airfare and accommodations extra. The cost for round trip tickets now down to Peru is about a little more than $200. It's very, very reasonable. So far, the country has not opened up yet, but it's supposed to open up by the end of June. I still have a few bottles of special Hauto vibrational healing water. If you're interested in that, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. All proceeds go to the Modal Peace Project. Now I'd like to bring on my good friend Simon from England. Simon, how are you doing today?
Hello, Ted. Can you hear me okay?
Oh, I can hear you fine, Simon. Absolutely. Yes. Well, thanks.
That's very good. With all the rioting and demonstrations in America, I thought you might not be able to hear me over the noise.
Well, it's quiet here, so it's quiet.
Well, you've had some trouble in Seattle, though, haven't you, Ted?
We have. Antifa demonstrators with bricks supplied by
Acme.
With bricks, actually, were on bridges over the Seattle freeways here a couple days ago, throwing bricks into windshields. They were also destroying property, looting property. It's a mess. If things are quiet now, there was a curfew. There's not a curfew now, but it's really troubling because normally everything's peaceful here. What the difference is that, according to police reports, many of these people aren't even from the area. They're actually bussed in hundreds of miles away. And they're paid by Antifa and George Soros to riot. Many of the people picked up, for example, in Minneapolis, were not even from the area. They were actually from California, bussed in or transported in by George Soros and Antifa to raise havoc and a lot of violence. Of course, since that time, President Trump has declared Antifa a terrorist organization, which I think is a good move on his part. And it's a situation we haven't dealt with before here in the United States, and it's very, very, very troubling, Simon.
Yes, I'm sure. And what's interesting is that dumper trucks were traveling along the day before dropping all those bricks outside the courthouse and everywhere else. Right. You're the man on the ground, Ted. These bricks are made by the Acme company, and doesn't George Soros have a big shareholding in Acme?
Warren Buffett and Berkshire Hathaway, his company, and George Soros and Bill Gates all own. They are the primary owners of Acme Brick Company, and they're the ones who supplied the bricks. So, free.
Well, the thing is, what's surprising is that, you know, there's enough evidence there for the most dumbest cop to begin to race back. Yet it seems that nobody seems to be picking up on this. Why do you think that is, Ted?
I think a lot of the governments are paid off. Otherwise, they're allied with Mr. Soros, and they want to see the violence continue. It's hard to know. The other thing too, we've got an election coming up this November, and they want to throw the country in turmoil. So maybe they're hoping that people will blame President Trump for all this violence, but he's nothing to do with it. He's just trying to get a handle on it. It's what's been more troubling in cities like Sacramento, California. The mayor just stood back and refused to let the police go in and help businesses, and the entire downtown area is now destroyed. The other problem, there's also a mayor in Portland, Oregon, who's good friends with Antifa. And in the past, about a year and a half, 2 years ago, Antifa came in, was beating up elderly men and women on the streets of downtown Portland. And the mayor, actually, who's a good friend of Antifa, ordered the police to stand by and let the Antifa demonstrators beat up elderly men and women. A lot of people thought that was irresponsible. She's still the mayor of Portland. I haven't heard any. The media here is still controlled. You don't hear a lot of what's going on in other cities. You get a little bit here and there, but on the ground here, things have calmed down. And people I know in some neighborhoods have organized their own defense groups over in the Tri-Cities here in Eastern Washington. There's been groups of citizens. We have Second Amendment here. They have their own weapons, and they're guarding their neighborhoods. Just in case any demonstrators come in and try to use violence. Myself, I'm not, I am careful. Nobody wants a brick through their windshield driving on the freyway. I don't go out much. And I hope this will all go away soon and we'll back to a peaceful world.
Well, we could all hope. What do you think, Ted? Do you think that people will see the truth out there, or do you think that people will just imagine that these demonstrations are okay and that they're normal? Do you think people will buy that, or do you think they'll begin to say that it's too much and it's wrong?
I think the latter is happening, actually. You know, there were a lot of demonstrations planned up and down the West Coast and throughout the United States, and especially in states like California, Oregon, Washington, and Michigan, against the shutdowns by various governors. And those demonstrations were actually planned last Sunday and Monday. But after this Minneapolis event late last week, all those demonstrations were canceled because they didn't want to get involved in any violence. And that's good. That's what happened. But now the country's attention's been diverted, of course, to this Minneapolis event, and then of course to these riots. It's like one thing after the other. One of the most troubling things that I discovered recently was a few days ago when I saw a Facebook post by an attorney in Texas who said he'd represented George Floyd 3 years ago, and he was with him at his side when Mr. Floyd passed away. And so you've got to ask, I'll be interviewing him in about an hour from now. He's coming on my show to talk about it. But you got to ask yourself, who was this person if it wasn't George Floyd? And there's a lot of questions involving his alleged death. I've talked to a lot of psychics, and none of us believe he's actually dead. And we also think that the event was staged to incite riots and violence across America. We're like a mixing plot here. We still have racial issues here, but the whole thing was engineered so that there were riots suddenly appearing within a day or two. The media went into a frenzy. Bricks were supplied along streets to create mayhem and attack police stations. The whole thing was almost like it was well planned, Simon. That's the thing that is bothering a lot of people.
Ted, don't you think that it was well planned so Absolutely. That nobody covered the news of Hillary Clinton having to go into court?
I think you're right. And also, I've heard that Attorney General Barr is having a trial with Mr. Obama next week as well. And all that attention now has been diverted from that as well. Yeah. Yeah. I think
that. Yes. I think, though, that when you know, even if you just go into the courthouse and you give your name, your date of birth, and then, you know, the case is put back a month or something, that has to be recorded. So somewhere there's going to be some official documents that Hillary Clinton did actually go into court. But it's just amazing that there isn't a single mainstream bit of reporting on it. Have you heard anything mainstream reporting on it, Ted?
The only thing I've seen is nothing. No stories whatsoever. I've seen pictures in our local papers here, of course, in the riots and destruction in Seattle and in Minneapolis. But the kind of in-depth reporting, we used to have that back in the 70s and 80s. But since that time, the reporting has gotten consolidated. Something like 95% of all major mainstream media in the United States is owned by, like, by six corporations, and they often share news stories. So if you don't, if your story doesn't appear in that mix, then it just doesn't get out. But people want the truth. That's why I think one of the reasons why alternative media and my show has become very popular, because people want the truth, and they're sick and tired of news stories which are twisted and only tell part of what's going on, or don't mention anything like Hillary Clinton's trial. Nothing, absolutely nothing in the media here. Not a word.
You see, I got it wrong. I thought that the final, what I call the final battle, which I assumed was going to take place after November the 3rd, mm-hmm. would be a battle between the White House and the media. And I assumed that would take place after November the 3rd, but actually it's happening now. So I said on my podcast that this actually is make or break for America. Mm-hmm. This is the final battle for the hearts and minds of people. This is the real enemy in the sense of the truth getting out to the people. But with so much of the established media refusing to cover anything other than the cabal agenda, right. It really means that there's a polarization now between those that believe in President Trump and what he's doing,
sure.
and those that just want to go back to the way it was. And I do think that it's the next 3 to 4 months are going to be very, very sticky, very difficult.
Yeah, I. But the message I've gotten from my angel friends on the other side is that the good angels are all cheering us on, Simon, and they want us to succeed. So for those out there having a difficult time, or maybe they've been hurt by the riots, know that you're getting a lot of angelic help, and God is helping us. And I know that the negatives will not win. It doesn't mean that we don't have to stand up to them. I think we still do. But I guess you could call me the eternal optimist. But but it's good. And your work is so good, Simon, because you highlight what's going on and help wake people up as well. I think we're all powerful spiritual beings meant to create a much better and happier planet. And as long as we remember that and remember that we're getting help from the other side, all of this will turn out in a good way in the next 3 or 4 months. But I agree with you, Simon. Now is a very critical time for people to speak out. In our own state here in Washington State, our governor, Governor Inslee, has been using the shutdown to install 5G in different parts of the state. He's installed it in Bellevue outside of my studio, parts of it I've been told along the freeway. And some people are getting sick from it, too. He's also used the shutdown as an excuse to do what's called track and trace, where he sends out people to track down people who've had the virus and then checking them and checking their families. And if, for example, a child or an infant is in a house that has somebody's been sick, they can his office said that they would take children away from parents and put them in detention camps for an indefinite time. Of course, this violates all kinds of federal and state laws, but he seems to operate without any regard to laws or what they say. I think he's either got 8 or 10 different lawsuits against him now. I'm not sure. I've lost count. He's been sued so much right now that it's hard to know how many total he's got so far.
Well, Ted, I mean, that sort of activity will only bring on civil war, mm-hmm. literally. If you have a family and someone tries to come in and take your children away, it's like a home invasion. You're not going to just sit there and let them do it.
Right.
So, you know, what I've noticed is that the United States, and it's not about being melodramatic, it's about looking at the truth. The United States is shifting towards internal conflict.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite right that the president basically said for any of those states that weren't going to act in a manner that was lawful,
mm-hmm.
In terms of protecting property and protecting lives, then he would use the regular army. Now, what was interesting,
mm-hmm.
that the cabal loved the idea of the National Guard on the streets, because they can say it's the soldiers against the people. But what they don't want was large numbers of regular troops reporting primarily to the president. And that's the main reason why I believe a lot of the violence has reduced, simply because the cabal have had their bluff called, in
sure.
the sense that they'll do that. Now, mm-hmm. President Trump and President Trump's allies must have a very clear idea of what's going on and who's behind it. And I would suggest to your audience that the line in the sand must have been crossed. In other words, how much more games both sides play, surely the time for being absolutely upfront with the American public is just right. about here. What do you think?
I see President Trump giving a very significant speech about what's going on July 4th. That's what my guide just told me. I think things will break open by then. Now, this is, what is today? The June 5th? Oh, yeah, 3 weeks off. That's what I just got. Something's going to happen very significantly around July 4th. You know, what's interesting, too, what's interesting about President Trump is that he ordered the country to be opened across the U.S. on May 2nd. But there's even federal agencies who refuse to open up. Still, they refuse to open up their park systems, the national parks, wildlife refuges to the public, continuing to keep places shut down. There's a wildlife refuge, not far from Olympia, Washington, where it's called the Nisqually Delta. It's a federal wildlife refuge, but it's still completely shut down, even though President Trump has ordered it open. So he doesn't. It's interesting how this is coming out. But I think during this whole time, it's been like a litmus test. South Dakota, as an example, is completely open without any problems. So is Nebraska and Iowa, for that matter. They're Midwest states. But along the coast here, they're still all shut down various degrees. And I think the only reason why Washington Governor Jay Inslee started to open up Washington this week, starting on Monday, is because he's been sued about almost a dozen times. And this was an opportunity to give the people a little bit of freedom. But then I heard from another friend of mine who works for the state of Washington that Governor Inslee is planning to clamp down again on the state next month and continue that through the rest of the year. But I don't see how he'll get away with it. But that's what I'd heard internally. They saw in documents saying that was his plan.
Okay. I mean, Ted, you are literally on the ground. I'm not, in this sense of it.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at November the 3rd, do you think that enough people will be totally shocked at the way that their local state or their local governors behaved? Or do you think that, you know, President Trump will not be reelected? Do you get a sense of where the election's going?
I've talked to my many friends, even so-called Democrats, small business owners, who are losing their businesses now because of the shutdown by Democratic governor here, Jay Inslee here in Washington State. They're all voting for the other party. They almost don't care who runs, anybody but anybody on two levels. On the state level, they're going to be voting for the other party, the Republicans, and there's about five or six different contenders for the governor's job. He's up for re-election this November. And they all said that they're voting for President Trump. They like the way he's done they like the way he's running the country. They know it's a difficult spot for him. But many people have told me, thank God we've got him as president. He's the right man at the right time for the job. Of course, he can be very rough sometimes, but we need somebody who's strong to stand up to these negative forces trying to destroy America and the world, and they feel very good about them. There's a few people I've run into who don't like Mr. Trump, and for that small minority, no matter what he does, they wouldn't like him anyway. But the vast majority of people who I run into all like what he's doing, and will vote for him this fall, and I believe he'll be, with a vast majority, reelected. No problem.
Well, that's good to hear. That's very, very heartwarming. I'm wondering what cards the other side have got. You know, they've tried they tried to impeach him. They tried the Russian trick. They tried the virus. They've tried so many things, demonstrations. One wonders what they've got left. What do you think they've got left to play, Ted?
I don't like to talk about this because I try to keep positive, but I will tell you what I've been told. And they said to keep the dates 9/12 and 12/9 in mind. Under one timeline, there's a second virus that's been engineered in a biolab created by Bill Gates that they plan to release in early September. Even if they're successful, my galactic friends on the other side said that they'll take the sting out of the virus so it won't be harmful to people, which is good. And they're not going to let us go down the rabbit hole of violence and destruction, more shutdowns, and basically a stop to the ascension process, which was going on. The ascension has started. There's really, the negative entities and the cabal can keep trying to stop it, but it's not going to work. So that's what I've been told. I know Bill Gates and Governor Inslee have mentioned that the WHO have mentioned that there may be a second wave coming, and they're all prepping us for that possible second wave. I don't see them being successful, but people should be aware. I mean, this first time with the virus was a way to like a test to see how people would react, whether they could shut down the whole country and how long they could keep it going. They could keep maybe it down for maybe 2 months, 2-3 months. But after that, people got restless, are starting to see through it now. And President Trump has said that if this happens again, he won't be shutting down the country again. So it's going to be very interesting to see what happens in September. I think that the Galactics are, of course, monitoring the situation. And if the Cabal does try it, they will be stopped. And they'll be stopped by the Galactics will come in and take the sting out of the virus. That's what I've been told.
Well, it's very exciting, isn't it?
Yeah. But this is their last chance. They've lost the war. They're trying everything they can to derail the United States. Look at the beginning of the year. They tried to burn up Australia, for heaven's sake. The whole country, they tried to burn it up. And many of us, including all my listeners and I and many light workers in early January, we did an attention experiment where we prayed for water for Australia. And within a couple of days, the whole country was awash in water, all rains everywhere, and all the fires were put out. That's a good thing. And together, I know if we pray for peace, we can create peace in this world, irregardless of what the cabal does. I don't think George Floyd, I don't think that was really him who was assaulted in Minneapolis last week. I think the whole thing was a setup. Those two officers had two different badges on, and it turns out that they didn't even work for the Minneapolis Police Department. So the whole thing was a scam. It's a setup. But the media is still controlled by the cabal. And so they get a story like that, and then they run with it. The thing with the virus, too, is that the virus is gone in many parts of the United States, but it's still alive in the mind of the media, which keeps pushing it every single day, every single minute. If I turned on my radio right now or television for news, Simon, they would have an alert about coronavirus every minute. So that's just perpetuating the fear, even though the virus is gone. Most of the United States, it's gone. But they're using that as a way to make people fearful and perpetuate it in the minds of people. People have to realize that they're not being told the truth.
I totally agree with you. I totally agree.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Didn't didn't this cop and the black gentleman know each other for 16 years?
17 years at a nightclub.
Yeah.
And the way I've watched the videos and the way that they, I mean, no medics showed up at the scene. A different set of police officers simply picked him up and threw him in the back of this police van and drove off. Now, I have never seen, I haven't been at many accident scenes, but I've heard from friends who are EMTs, emergency medical technicians, that that violates all kinds of protocols. You have to stop, check the person's temperature, take his vital signs, see if he's alive. None of that was done. They simply show up, pick him up, throw him in the back of a van and drive him off. And then the family, the so-called family for George Floyd in Minneapolis has raised over $12.5 million as a fund for their stress. And if it was, in fact, the family of George Floyd, then I'm happy that they're getting this support. On the other hand, if what this attorney in Texas has been telling me is true, then who are these people? And are they really the family of George Floyd? Those are questions have to be asked. So it raises a lot of troubling questions. And the other question, too, are we being scammed? Are we being scammed by the media here in the United States? Why aren't we being told the truth? Why do these violent riots suddenly appear? Why are there bricks suddenly appearing on the streets of Seattle, Los Angeles, and all the way across the country from a company owned by Bill Gates, George Soros, and Berkshire Hathaway? You have to ask those kinds of questions. And was this planned? And who benefits from the violence?
What's troubling me here is that these bad guys have such a control over many parts of America that they can stage these type of things with impunity. They can stage them. They can do all these things.
Sure.
And, you know, not yourself, of course, but I do get a bit tired of other people saying that the war's over, you know, the good guys have won. If that were the case, these bad guys wouldn't have the ease with which they've done it. It's shocking how confident they are that they can do all this, confident in the fact or believing in the fact that there'll be no comeback on them. So that's concerning, Ted, that you have a president who is quite largely not part of the cabal, and yet all of the local government, or so it seems, is completely in the pockets of these criminals.
Sure.
And I don't know how it's going to be cleaned up, because what we've been demonstrated to us is a huge network at local level of these very evil people who are like-minded, who can coordinate and organize actions without any interference from the good guys. Now, that is troubling, Ted.
It is. And so many of us, including myself, we don't pay attention to what's in the mass media anymore, because so much of it is not telling us the truth. But you know, it's a time of truth. I was told by an astrologist friend back in 2014 that this was a time of truth from 2014 on, the rest of that decade and into this decade, for many thousands of years to come, that those things that are false will be shown to be false and fall by the wayside, and those things that are true will be shown to be true and be self-evident as being true. And I think people are starting to see through the media and see through what really happened. You know, the funny thing is about this event, this incident last week, the so-called police officer stares into the camera for like 8 minutes, like he was an actor staging it.
Uh-huh.
And then the EMTs show up, emergency medical technicians show up. And instead of checking the guy's vital signs, George Floyd, or I don't think it was George Floyd or whoever that person was, they just kind of unceremoniously just pick up his body and throw him in the back of a police van and drive off. It doesn't make sense. None of it makes sense. And then the media takes this in a frenzy, and there are bricks now appearing in the streets of Los Angeles and Chicago and Seattle, New York. And rioters then come in within a day from paid with Antifa, with George Soros, and they start violently attacking people and buildings and businesses and killing people in some instances. So the whole thing was, it's like a setup, and it's like a very well-planned, staged performance. And some of the mayors, for example, as I mentioned before, in Sacramento, California, the mayor stood back and said, no, we're not. I'm not going to send the police in to protect anyone. You're on your own. So the whole downtown area now, I guess, is destroyed. And a lot of damage has been done. I don't know what's happened in Portland, Oregon, but the mayor of Portland is a good friend of George Soros and Antifa. So she probably let the police, let the rioters down there run rampant throughout Portland. I don't know. In Seattle, Antifa demonstrators were throwing bricks off of bridges over the freeway, smashing in windshields as people were driving underneath the bridge. Highly dangerous activities. The city was shut down, a big curfew for at least a couple days. Now it's quiet. And I think it's quiet maybe because our governor here didn't want President Trump to order in the military. And there's several big military bases very close to Seattle. He could have easily ordered the military and take control of the situation, but he didn't. So not yet anyway.
One weapon that the bad guys have still left is a huge operation to cheat on the election day.
That's true.
Whether it's by the post voting, self-voting, but I do think that they will, if they control as much of the ground as they seem to control, then I think that's what they'll go for. They'll go for a complete and utter fake of that election. So I hope that there are American soldiers standing outside all of the voter registration stations, all of the ballot places, mm-hmm. because that's about the only way, and that the military then actually ride along with those votes, because otherwise I just don't see how anything democratic in the true sense of the word can come about. I absolutely believe that they will skew the results.
I have to tell you two things, and it's from personal experience. I know that in November of 2016, during the last presidential election, I counted three signs for endorsing Hillary Clinton for president in Thurston County, which is the seat of government, Olympia, Washington, the seat of government for Washington, three signs altogether on different residential areas. But there were Trump signs everywhere. And yet, during the election count, 60% went for Hillary Clinton with only 40% for Mr. Trump. Now, there was a disconnect in reality because it didn't really make any sense. The second thing I was told is that the election results, the federal election results, were not counted here. They were counted instead in Spain by a company owned by George Soros. So, I mean, people out there, you should look into that connection, because that's what I'd heard from a reliable source back then. If that connection is still there. I mean, they tried to gerrymander the election back in 16 so that Hillary Clinton would have won, but they could only do it within a range. And their support for President Trump was so high back then, they couldn't do it. And I think they're going to try it again.
You're absolutely right, Ted, and forgive me for interrupting you. What I can tell you from what I've heard was that I'll give you a figure, there were 10 million votes that were lost. And yet Trump still won. Now they say that he didn't get the personal vote in the sense of the popular vote, but he did win on the delegate side. But the information I have is something like 10 million votes for Trump were lost. And yet, even though they did all that, they still couldn't do enough to stop him. Now, right. Absolutely vital, regardless of what you vote for. It's vital mm-hmm. to have system that accurately counts your votes. So that's something, if I'll be honest with you, if President Trump and his gang, they're not going to do anything about it, they don't deserve to win. What I'm saying is that knowing what I know, and I'm sure they know what I know, they must, you'd think they must take some action to ensure that the votes are not riddled. Because if they just rely on the local system, they're not going to win, because the local system, generally speaking, is completely controlled by the New World Order.
That's true. That's true. And I think this is like the Battle of the Bulge in December 1944. This is the last chance that the negatives believe, the cabal believes, that they have to win this conflict. And they're not going to win, though, but they're trying. And, you know, a year ago, if someone would have asked me, Simon, about whether there would be a virus and the country would be shut down and the whole world would be shut down, I wouldn't have believed it. But they did it. And, you know, I don't know. The virus thing, a possible second virus, they may try to release one in mid-September. But I know that the Galactic said that they would step in and help us if they did. I'm not sure. I know that Bill Gates wants to have everyone forced to have vaccinations, and also put a nano chip in the vaccination so people can be tracked with that. And also, there's been talk as well. I've seen information on the web about how if people do take these vaccinations and there is a nano chip in the in their body, that they can use that to eliminate anyone they wish by simply flicking a switch. I'm not being paranoid. I'm simply reiterating what I've heard, things that I've read, things on the web. So, but I don't think it'll be successful. So,
I do agree. I think that anybody who takes this vaccination when it comes out is basically writing their own death warrant. Right. And I would really strongly urge people to think very carefully about it. I agree with you. Excuse me. I think that the bad guys will push quite close, but I think that they will not have enough steam and they will just fall short. And then the good forces will begin to push them back. It's almost, to be honest with you, Ted, it's almost as if the human race is being tested, tested to see what it does. And that's why voices like you and others have got to keep plugging away, firing away here, because I think it's going to be a little bit closer than we originally thought.
I think you're right. I think you're right. And also, I remember reading your June 2nd update, excellent update, Simon, from a couple days ago, that you had expected this in 2021.
Yes.
And I think what everything got moved up on the timetable because we were ascending faster than the cabal thought we would. Yeah. And also too, they hadn't planned on the accident in Wuhan last September or October, where the young man who had a vial of this virus apparently was killed by a cabal member. They were trying to get it, and it was released early. Because I think you had mentioned before that they actually wanted to release it here in the United States. Is that right, Simon?
That was the original plan. Because then it would have been two things here. It would have been more virulent in the US. And secondly, there would have been no time for Trump to have responded. Because it happened in China, Trump had time to try and get some sort of plan together. So the original plan, the good news is they weren't able to get this virus on the market in America. So they had to go to the only other place where the World Health Organization has a strong connection, which is, of course, Wuhan, the biological weapons lab there. But yes, of course. And what's interesting is that the ex-head of Britain's external security service, the intelligence network, retired now, but he said that he's seen evidence, a document was shown to him, that the virus was created in the biological lab in China. So Britain's security service is actually now coming out saying this is a man-made bioweapon. Now, that's very important, because what it means is that Intel is getting frustrated with the politicians. Intel is getting frustrated with the lawmakers and is saying to them, if you're not going to tell the truth to the public, we're going to start leaking it. So we're going to see, I think, in some countries where the white hats, the good guys, are going to circumvent their politicians because they've given up with them, and they're going to start dealing directly with the public. And I think we're going to see a fragmentation of a government as people begin to, you know, sell their pitch to the audience. And that's going to be very interesting as we go into the fall.
My Pleiadian friends have told me for the last several years, that's why they do, when they do their crop circles, that's to raise awareness that they're out there and they all have different messages. And that's why often they'll have crop circles here in the United States, Canada, Britain, and elsewhere, because they're not so much now, but earlier they were doing it because they got tired of dealing with the governments who weren't telling them, giving them the messages to the people about their presence. And so that's what they told me, the reason why, one of the reasons for the crop circles, same thing.
I absolutely agree, 100%. In fact, in Britain, there were small groups of people who were being able to decode some of the crop circles, and they were working communications between the two. And this was pressure that the outsiders were putting on the governments to say, we will communicate with your people if you don't take us more seriously. And I think that people get very frustrated. You know, if you see time and time again these bad people doing things, you get to a point where you just lose trust in the system, and you appeal directly to the hearts and minds of the citizens. And I think that's what's going to happen. We're going to see a real division between those people who are trying to push a line from the cabal, and those who are trying to wake people up. And I don't just mean people like you, Ted, or me. I'm talking about people who normally wouldn't even play that game. I think there are people who are heartily sick of what's going on, and they want a real cleanup. Now, I know, remember in 2016, President Trump came in with Drain the Swamp. Nobody appreciated how locked down and secure this evil force was. And maybe the only way this swamp can be drained is when the public, the American people, actually foursquare see it for what it is. I think before it was just slogans and clever words, but actually now it's in their face. And I think that this has got to be the wake-up call, Ted. I can't see anybody not being touched by what's taking place.
Sure, right. There were stories of a man, for example, in Minneapolis, a retired police officer, Simon, who had his life savings in starting a restaurant and a sports bar in downtown Minneapolis, all torched up by Antifa demonstrators within a couple of hours, all gone. His life savings, all his work. And so that's what's been happening across America in many cities, where small businesses have been forced out of, destroyed. And if they weren't destroyed by these riots, many of them have been forced into bankruptcy by these shutdowns across the country for a virus that hasn't been that dangerous. I know you drive around these towns like a ghost town. Buildings boarded up. It was good. We had the stimulus package here in the United States. People were getting like $1,200 per person, but really, that's not going to really bring back a business that's maybe been in operation for 20 or 30 years. I mean, it's a nice gesture, but that's not going to bring back the economy when like 70%. Go ahead, Simon.
I was going to say that if you think that many towns and cities will end up like the Rust Belt, they'll actually end up with industries that just can't reopen.
Right.
And that actually is a direct cause of a combination of people who are fearful,
right,
without justification, but are fearful, mm-hmm. and also where a governor or a local lawmaker is under orders from somebody who has a vested interest in weakening the United States. And I just thank to goodness that the American military is sworn to protect the Constitution and not any multi-million dollar corporation.
Right. I still see us getting through this, Simon, but it's going to take some work. We can't be complacent about it, but and I know we're getting help from angels and good spirits on the other side. Simon, there's so much to talk about today. There was a story, and I have to ask you about from a listener, that the seal of the Queen on Buckingham Palace was removed. I saw two different versions of it. One is that she's gone. The second was that they were doing maintenance in there, and I don't know why they'd want to replace the seal. Is there a bigger story with that happening, Simon, from what you've heard?
Well, there is. There is a bigger story. It's interesting. First of all, the seal is photoshopped. It's a photoshopped seal on the gates of Buckingham Palace. The Queen has moved to Windsor Palace, which is a separate palace. That's why she's not in central London area now. And the lower stories of the Buckingham Palace have been secured. They've been boarded up with gilt bars and grills.
Mm-hmm.
That is because they're worried about people storming the palace.
Oh.
Literally have secured all of the ground floor because mm-hmm. they're fearful of the citizens turning on the palace and attacking it. Mm-hmm. That's just an interesting aside. But I wanted to tell you a bit about this because it's more interesting than you'd think.
Okay. We've got 4 minutes left. Go ahead.
Oh, well, that'll only take me 2 minutes.
Okay, great. Okay.
Well, basically, in this country, for a very, very long time, has been a very small elite group who believe that the royal family line that we have at the moment is hijacked. It's not the line that we had maybe 600-700 years ago. In other words, the royal king and queen have not part of the same bloodline. And this elite group has for many, many years attempted to, when I say attack the royal family, what I mean is small little things, nothing really serious. But this thing about a new king is not just somebody in their back shed having a laugh. This is a real concerted effort by a group of people who are trying to send messages that the royal family is not the original family line for Great Britain. So it's more than just a joke. There's actually a serious push here to say to the royal family, you're not actually legitimate. So that's what's going on, Ted.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. We've got about 2 minutes left. And Simon, I want to give you the rest of the time to wrap up your always incredible interview today. Always wonderful interview.
Well, here in Great Britain, we've been watching with growing alarm the situation in America. And what we see is one man who we would call President Trump with a very clear message and a mass of people around him who seem to be running around with no clue as to what they're doing. And I think that America is largely filled with intelligent people. And I think that they will decide that they are being manipulated and they don't want that any longer.
Sure.
So
sure.
I'm actually positive for the future, but my warning is that it's going to be a tough 3 or 4 months, but then it will get better.
Good. good. Well, Simon, thank you again so much for coming on my show today. It's always wonderful to talk to you. And please say hi to your cats and dogs for us.
I will. Thank you very much, Ted. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye. Thanks so much, Simon. Bye. Thank you so much. Thanks. Bye. That was my good friend Simon Parks live from England. And please stay tuned to our next guest. It should be really out of this world. Thanks so much, everyone.